Our New Testament reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. Hear now the word of our Lord. Now, this is a scripture that Christ is talking about the end times. He's talking about what will happen. This is some of the familiar scripture in Mark 13, where he talks about when brother will betray brother, and children will rebel against their parents, and abomination that causes desolation, and people will flee, and you remember where he said how dreadful it will be for those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers, and pray this won't take place in winter and all that. So then it begins in 24 and says, but in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. I say to everyone, watch. And this is the word of our Lord. Beginning of Advent is always kind of a sea change each year for me. It's the time that we look forward to celebrating Christmas. We look forward to celebrating the birth of Christ. But we only celebrate in those things that occurred in the past, because of the importance that they bring to what will happen in the future. Let me give you an example. We read about it in Scripture when Jesus celebrating Passover, going to celebrate Passover. We hear many times in the Scripture references to celebrating Passover. And of course, Passover is the time that when the Jews were captives in Egypt and the Pharaoh would not let them go free as the Lord, through the words of Moses, had commanded. Even though many plagues have been sent, from boils on the skin or frogs and bugs and all kinds of terrible things going on, the water turning to blood, the Pharaoh would not relent and release the people of Israel. And so God, getting ready to demonstrate his great power, his omnipotence, tells Moses to explain to the people that he will do the thing that will turn the Pharaoh's heart and to release them. And he will slay the firstborn firstborn child in every family, whether they be 1 year old or a month old or 40 years old, they will be slain. And he will slay the firstborn of every animal owned by that family. But he leaves a way out for his people who he is doing this to save. He tells them if they will sacrifice a lamb without blemish, and to eat this sacrifice, they had to eat the whole thing, and if there was, and they even need to bring in other families if their family was too small to eat a whole lamb. And so, and they would take the blood and smear it above on the door frame above their doors and around their doors to put the blood of the sacrificed lamb on the door. And when seeing this, God in his spirit will pass over their home and not slay the firstborn. So why do they celebrate that? Well, they celebrate it because they love God and thank God that he freed them as a people from slavery and oppression. But it's a celebration that has more meaning than that. Because God did what God said he would do, they could know that God would do what God said he would do in the future. Because God did pass over their homes, did free them from slavery, did deliver them out of Egypt and into the land that he had promised many, many hundreds of years ago. And God did make their people as numerous as the stars in the sky, like he had promised Abraham. Because God did in the past what he said he would do, they celebrate that because it allows them to know that God will do in the future what he has promised to do. We celebrate Christmas for some of the same reasons. We celebrate Christmas because back even in Genesis, there are references to the Savior Christ who would come to save the people of God and deliver us from our sin and give us salvation and be the Messiah. Going back in all that time, those promises were made. But first, it required the birth of the Messiah to the Virgin Mother. First, it required the Christ to come and walk among us. It required that he would be born. And because God did what he promised, and he did bring the Christ child to be born to the Virgin Mary, we can know that God will do what he says in the future. So when we read these things and it talks about the trials and tribulations that are to come, the terrible things that will come to the world, it also gives us hope in this scripture that Mark has recorded, gives us hope in these words of Jesus Christ, that he says that he will come, he will descend in the clouds and come, and he will create the new Jerusalem. He will create the heaven that we will be drawn to. So we can know beyond any doubt that God will keep his promises, because God has always kept his promises. You know, in your own personal relationships, in our relationships, there are people that we know that will tell us things, and they will promise us things, and they will assure us of things to come. And when they walk away, we think, yeah, right. That never works out. That'll never happen. And then there are other people that when they walk into the room, we feel at peace. When they walk into the room, we know that whatever they say they will do it. Whenever they say they will be there, they will be there. That whenever they promise us is good as gold. We worship a mighty God. More than that, we worship the mighty God, the true God, the creator of the earth, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and me. And he has always, always done exactly as he has promised. He has always kept his promises. And so when we look back to the ways that he delivered his people out of the famine and prepared a place for them in Egypt through the work of Joseph, who he had sold into slavery, we know that God's plan is always at work. Now tell me, do you think that Joseph's father had any idea that what the plan was? Do you think his brothers had a clue that when they sold him into slavery, they would one day bow before his feet? Do you believe that the people of Israel, when they saw the Pharaoh turn down over and over and over again the words of Moses, that they thought that God would prevail? No. Actually, those people were a lot like you and me. And those people sometimes gave up hope. And those people sometimes felt that all was lost and the promises would never be kept and it will never happen. Because we are human and we live finite lives. We are here for a time and then we're gone. We have been raised by our parents and loved and people who loved us, and they're gone. In time, we have heard promises broken, we have seen words unkept, but when we read the Word of God, we know beyond any doubt that God always keeps his promises, he always keeps his word, and he rarely allows his people to understand what's going on. We simply have to have faith that God always keeps his word. So, what does that mean? If God always keeps his word, and we are said, and Jesus says here, giving us his word, that at that time men will see the Son of Man coming in cloud with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heavens. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it's right at the door. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It says no one will know when the hour is. No one will know when it's going to happen. Nobody can read the signs and put together the formula and identify the secrets in the scripture. No one can do that. If they tell you that, they are deceiving you. You can't depend on the History Channel to tell you what's going to happen. You can't depend on preachers who say they have figured it out. They've got the formula. They've mastered the code. Don't buy it. They don't know. Even Jesus Christ was not given knowledge of when it would occur. And this is Jesus Christ speaking. The fact is, we don't know when it will happen. We don't know how it would happen, but we know what will happen. That Jesus Christ, who descended into heaven in the cloud, will descend from heaven in the cloud, returning to us exactly as he left, and that he will be seen by us and the entire world. And those who are alive at that time will sigh a sigh of relief if they know Christ is Lord and Savior, and feel vindicated of their hope, and feel free and relieved. And those who have passed on, who love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will be raised and rejoice. And this is not a maybe or an if, or if you do this, then I'll do that. And if this happens, you do this. This is for certain. If Jesus Christ has called you, if Jesus Christ has brought you into his family, if he has adopted you as one of his own, then this is something you can know. Now here we are getting ready for Christmas Eve. We just got ready for Thanksgiving. It's like a preparation, something to get us, to teach us a little bit about getting ready, you know, and remember the last minute things for preparing for Thanksgiving. Now we're preparing for Christmas, which has a bigger build up, a longer build up, and it's a bigger deal because it's the birth of Christ and we're getting ready for it. And so many people spend enormous amounts of money, enormous amounts of time, and enormous amounts of energy trying to get Christmas just right. God's already done that. God has already gotten Christmas just right. He has given us his son. He has given us his only son as a sign that he loves you, that he loves me. He has given his son not only as to give him up to a human life, but he's also given him up to a human death. He has given him up to receive and bear the sins that I sinned, the sins that you sinned. He has already done this. Relax. Enjoy the Christmas season. Enjoy the time that you spend preparing. But relax. God has already done this. God has already prepared this. There's nothing you can do to top what he has done for you. But there are things that you can do. And it's not just for Christmas Day, but it's for the day that is coming that Christ speaks of in this scripture in chapter 13 of Mark. There's things that you need to do to prepare your life for Christ. Because we will each be called before him to answer. Yes, he's covered our sins, but have we done what we could do? Have we been who we can be? Have we answered his call? And Christ says it will come like a thief in the night. No one will know when it occurs. No one will know. He said there will be signs, but we won't know when it happens. Yes, there are signs. He said just as we see that the fig tree, the sprouts become tender on the fig tree, we will see signs that it is coming, but we won't know the day. And we have to be prepared. We do have all the time in the world if we are going to remain in the world. But if we are going to be in the kingdom of God, if we are going to be in the realms of heaven, if we are going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, then the time is near and the time is dear, and we need to be prepared. We need to start today preparing our hearts for Jesus Christ, our lives for Jesus Christ, committing ourselves, increasing the time we spend in reading God's Word, not allowing ourselves to be distracted when we pray. And we have to pray. We need to be a praying people. We need to be the people of God. You know, in the new church, when we saw in the new church in the book of Acts, it says, and they prayed continuously, and they read, and they listened to the word continuously. You need to have prayer breaths on your mouth all day long, thanking God for His deliverance, thanking God for His forgiving you all that He's given you, thanking God for your delivery. I was thanking God last night. Our grandson Joe has an old 68 Ford truck that the shifting mechanism is messed up on. And so he puts the emergency brake on and gets out under the hood and shifts it into forward gear and then closes the hood and gets in and lets the brake off and he goes. Well, I taught him how to do a tune-up yesterday. And he did a complete tune-up and then he got ready to leave and he put the brake on and shifted it into gear, and here he is leaning over the hood in the truck, and the truck starts heading down the hill into the woods, carrying Joe with it, tumbling off to the side. He bumped his head, but he's fine. Thank God. We need to give praise to God and His deliverance all the time. It could have been very different, but God has things for Joe to do. God has things for him to be and people, and for, prepare him to do His work. We need to give God praise all the time, every day. We need to read His word every day. We need to give Him, to spend time in solitude, thanking Him for what He does every day. We need to be ready for this great and marvelous thing that He's given us and shown us through His past, that He will keep His promises. And we can know beyond any doubt that the Lord will keep His promises and that He will bring His blessings to those who believe. Amen.